Hit a home run and get pre-approved for your next refinance or home purchase at thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
This is Cardinals broadcaster and Schnucks shopper Dan McLaughlin. Schnucks would like everyone to know how much they appreciate our community during this very difficult time. They know this isn't easy for everyone, and that's why Schnucks is working around the clock to make sure they handle the needs of our community. Schnucks wants to say thank you for your support, your patience, and your never quit attitude as we will all get through this together. Schnucks appreciates our community, and they want all of their shoppers to know how much they mean to them.
A Wednesday on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, and as always, we visit with Brian Walton of TheCardinalNation.com. Brian, still working hard day in and day out on the minor league system, and that's what's going on with Major League Baseball, some optimism, really in sports in general, that things could be coming back. We're going to dive into that and many more subjects as we do every Wednesday. Brian, as always, good to visit with you. How are things?
Oh, great, Dan. Great. You know, there's always a short list of things, but it seems like early in the week we get new news. And so I'm sure our conversation today is going to be packed with information and some optimism as well, as you said.
Well, let's start with one of the subjects that I think is negative for the sport, and that is cheating in the game, whether you're talking about the Houston Astros, which the hammer was dropped down on them. And now in the last week or so, we've seen with the Boston Red Sox. What did you think of the commissioner's report and also the punishment handed down for the Red Sox?
Well, just to summarize, the Red Sox were accused of using a video during the games to communicate to players the current signs of the opponent. And the penalty that was given to the Red Sox for that was the loss of their second-round draft pick, and their video coordinator is suspended for a year. The manager, Alex Cora, was already suspended for a year based on his transgressions with Houston. Now, you know, video coordinators are pretty much a fungible employee, and, you know, video coordinators don't make decisions. They do things that they're told. And, you know, to assume that this guy was the mastermind and somehow he was the only one that knew what was going on was ridiculous. And in fact, it's interesting. Rob Manfred's report, he basically said, hey, even if I hadn't granted players immunity to talk, in his opinion, those players did nothing to warrant a suspension. Now, it's one thing to decode signs, you know, after a game, you know, with the tape. But during the game, players have to disappear into the dugout, get this information. And for the batter to be able to use sign information, someone out there has to be signaling it to him. If it's not a runner on second base, it's a coach, it's someone. So, you know, and again, you say, okay, well, this is a lot of hearsay. But you look at the Red Sox organization. They were, in 2017, the organization that was first accused in recent times of cheating in the Apple Watch scandal. They were put on warning. Then the Red Sox organization cheated in international signings and got slapped again. So now this is the third time in the last 3 years the Red Sox have had transgressions regarding cheating in the game, and yet a video coordinator gets shot and they lose one draft pick. It just sends a really, really bad signal. And one of the articles I read, I can't remember who, quoted an unnamed major league official that said, hey, you know, this penalty basically says that it's little incentive to not cheat. I don't necessarily want to cheat, but, you know, this says, you know, you basically get away with it with a minimal penalty.
What do you think it means for Alex Cora, a part of this with Houston and now seeing what's going on with the Red Sox? Now, he's been suspended for the year, but it seems like this has followed him where he's gone. So what do you think it means for Alex Cora?
Well, there was some optimistic reports out of Boston that said, well, this means that Alex Cora could be hired back next year by the Red Sox. But I just can't see if the organization really wants to put all this behind them, how they could ever bring Alex Cora back and make him the manager of the Boston Red Sox again. And, you know, the two data points that he was not, you know, was involved in incidents in two locations is going to make it much more difficult, I think, for him to get a job of responsibility. Now, you contrast that with A.J. Hinch in Houston, who basically is portrayed, at least in the information that we know, as a guy who didn't like what was going on, but didn't have the guts to fight the people above him and the people below him. And so he just, you know, smashed a monitor here and there to let everybody know he was unhappy, but felt he couldn't do anything about it. That's one thing versus a Cora who appears to have been, you know, one of the masterminds of the cheating in Houston, if not what happened in Boston as well.
Yeah, what do you think? Cora, A.J. Hinch, Carlos Beltran, obviously he stepped away from what was happening with his situation. in New York, and then Jeff Luhnow. Do you see that that group, any of those guys getting jobs back in baseball?
I think Hinch is the one that would probably could be the first because of what I described. I mean, his primary guilt is that he didn't man up and fight. And granted, if you're, you know, if the guys in the front office are basically telling you this is okay, you know, he probably did feel get caught, you know, felt caught in the middle. Cora, again, now you got two data points. That's an issue. Beltran, he only had one data point, what happened in Houston, and he was still a player at that time. But Beltran also is, of all those guys, probably the most financially independent. He has a baseball academy in Puerto Rico. You know, he doesn't necessarily – he didn't come back to manage the New York Mets for money. He did it because he wanted to, you know, contribute again to the game. So I think Beltran's case will be more about, you know, what he wants to do personally. Jeff Luhnow, he was a business executive before he ever came to work for the St. Louis Cardinals and then the Houston Astros. He was also a consultant with McKinsey. So, you know, I would be surprised to see Jeff Luhnow back in baseball. I think he'll go off into the business, you know, world and do something else. Now, granted, if he has this desire to, you know, clean up his image and all that, but I just can't see Jeff Luhnow going back and being an assistant general manager somewhere or some job short of being in charge, given the level of responsibility that he and control that he had in Houston, because nobody's going to give him back right out of the chute. He would have to re-earn that. And I just, based on what I know about knowing Jeff, and I have not talked to him since any of this, I haven't talked to him since he left St. Louis, but I just don't think that's something that he's going to have the appetite to do.
We're not far away from what would be the Major League Baseball draft. We know it's going to be a way different looking draft. What are you hearing about the draft? What are you hearing about guys getting scouted, how they're being scouted, those kind of things? But just the draft in general, what are you hearing about it?
Well, you know, most of the scouting that was done, first of all, the Cape Cod League, which is, you know, the big summer league that's been canceled. Obviously, all the NCAA and high school baseball this spring is all canceled. But the Cardinals and all organizations had done, you know, the heavy lifting on their scouting last year, previous years. And granted, there would be guys that would move up or down the board, you know, based on their performance this spring that they won't have. But I'm sure Randy Flores, if he were here, he would say he could do the draft tomorrow. There was talk that the draft, which was originally scheduled starting June 10th in Omaha in conjunction with the College World Series, would be delayed potentially until late July. And Manfred had the agreement, had, you know, everything greased that he could do that if he so chose. The word on Tuesday, at least from, I think it was John Heyman, said what he's hearing is the draft is going to occur on schedule, obviously not in person, but in a virtual manner. And one of the other rumors that was out there was the draft could be as few as five rounds. However, the rumor was also that if Major League Baseball is able to play again this year and they get some revenue flowing, they might go 10 rounds. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see for sure if the draft is held on June 10th, but it looks like a piece of positive news, you know, regarding the, you know, proceeding with the draft.
How concerned are you for college baseball as a guy that follows these young kids that could be drafted, and we see the landscape of pro sports? Certainly college sports is going to change, especially if there is no college football. How concerned are you right now about the viability and the future of college baseball?
I think the future's brighter, and let me tell you why, Dan. I mean, obviously we got to get past 2020 and the, you know, all the hurt that's been here. But by Major League Baseball cutting the draft from 40 rounds to probably what will be a maximum of 20 starting next year, and the drop in the maximum bonus that can be paid to any player not taken in the first 10 rounds, that means that many, many more high school players will not sign professional contracts.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And they will instead go to college.
That's a good point. Hadn't thought of it that way. And then you might have some of those really talented juniors sticking around for another year as a senior in college.
And, you know, and again, the senior year thing, the incentive, I think a lot of folks know that, but let me just make clear the point you made there, and that is that a college junior, typically that's when the guys with the most potential get drafted and signed, but they have the leverage of saying, hey, you know, if I don't get a good enough offer from you, major league team, I can still go back for my senior year. The problem with that is by the time that they're a senior, they're in a box because they don't have anywhere to go if they don't sign. Now, you know, in the future, maybe the independent leagues will become stronger and that'll become a better option. The problem I see with independent leagues replacing a part of the traditional system is that, number one, pay is not good. Number two, the environments aren't stable. And you as a player don't have the stability of having a contract with an affiliated organization. If you don't perform, it's sort of like winter ball. If you don't perform, you could be gone next week. Whereas if you're a guy who got drafted, an organization invested in you, they're going to help you through the low periods because they're in for the long haul. So I think, but to your question overall, I think because of the changes that Major League Baseball has made to the draft, fewer high schoolers will be drafted, and that will overall improve college baseball because I think Major League Baseball probably wants to see more of the investment, the time and the money that's put in the development of players shifted from them and their minor league system to the colleges, more like you see in football or basketball.
What's the latest on minor league baseball? What have you heard about a minor league season, or just what some of these, you know, teams that were on the chopping block anyway, what they're gearing up for, what could be a non-season, whatever the case may be. But what are you hearing about the minor leagues?
Well, there was a meeting last week, but news from it has been very, very sparse. I'm talking about a meeting between Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball. And before that, as we talked about last week, Baseball America wrote that what they had heard was that Minor League Baseball was going to cave into MLB's demands to reduce by 42 teams, the 160 affiliated teams. That has not happened yet. And there's a lot of jockeying by teams saying, hey, you know, we're not dead yet, right? You know, you might have read about this, that, or the other, but we're still here. And they have to hold out hope that, something will happen. But if MLB holds to 120 teams as to what they want to run with in the future, every team that saves itself, so to speak, means another one's going to get knocked off. Now, if MLB decides, hey, we're going to go to 130 or 135 or whatever, then, you know, some of these communities that are looking to lose affiliated ball might have hope for the future. But for 2020, right now, it appears that all the energy is being put toward figuring out how to start the major league season. And, you know, what might happen with minor leagues, you know, very unclear right now. Not really hearing anything other than some greater level of pessimism that there'll be a minor league season at all, with an alternative maybe that they might be able to play on the backfields if they can in the spring training complexes, if that many people can congregate.
In terms of a major league season, there's optimism. They haven't come out and said, hey, we're canceled. That does not happen. It's been a postponement. There's been talks of different ways to amp up and get baseball back on the field with or without fans. What's the latest that you're hearing on that?
Well, there was a lot of news on Tuesday. First, Ken Rosenthal at the Athletics wrote a story that talked about Major League Baseball working and having some optimism toward a start in the mid-June to July 4th kind of time frame. And if they were able to start then, say by the beginning of July, they could squeeze in anywhere from 80 to 100 games. The regular season would run through October, so it would be a month longer than normal. And they would have the postseason in neutral sites with the World Series at the end of November, maybe even into early December. So there's a schedule, there's a plan that would work. Now, the question that nobody understands yet and knows is, would baseball still have to start in more controlled environments such as spring training sites? But inherent in this plan is the hope that baseball can be played in the 30 major league stadiums at some point in this season. Now, later in the day, a second report came out from Bob Nightingale in USA Today, who further amplified some of the rumors. And what he said is that there's a possibility that baseball could align into three divisions of 10 teams each. So American and National Leagues would go away, basically, and you just have a Eastern Division and a Central Division and a Western Division. And the teams in those divisions would only play each other. So there would not be long periods of travel. There would be much less travel. And potentially that might allow players and their families then to live in their own homes in their own cities. Now, the big if, of course, is, you know, where are we in testing? Where are we in quarantines? You know, it certainly would be much more palatable to the players if there would be a way that they could stay with their families rather than, you know, being locked up in hotels for months. But again, these are still just ideas being discussed, but people being quoted off the record are, you know, positive about this stuff. And so it's the best news we've heard in some time because the proposals seem to have a little more specifics around them.
Not to put the cart before the horse, it is intriguing, though, to see the realignment. I wonder if that's just something we're going to see anyway. If they have good reaction to this, and I'm not saying you go to three different geographical divisions, but some type of realignment. I wonder if that's coming, if there's a lot of positives that could come out of this if we play baseball.
Yeah, it's a good question, Dan. Don't know the answer. Certainly, there's been a lot of interest in the rivalries that divisions have, but yet, you know, you have rivalries like St. Louis and Kansas City that have value as well that would be enhanced in this type of environment. You know, I think right now, you know, they're just trying to figure out a way to play baseball and do it as safely as possible, and certainly less travel, fewer hotels, you know, that whole thing is something that's positive. What that might mean for 2021, you know, I think they'll look and see what kind of experiences, positive and negatives, might come out of whatever they're able to do in 2020.
What are you hearing about ticket refunds with Major League Baseball?
Well, this is an area that's been a great concern to fans, because the first month of games so far have not been played at the Major League level. But teams, and this is a policy across Major League Baseball, teams said these games are not canceled, they are postponed. Therefore, hold on to your tickets, fans, and, you know, we'll give you further information in the future. That upset a number of people who felt, hey, I should be able to get my money back just like an airplane ticket or a hotel room or anything else. And Major League Baseball, actually, there was a lawsuit filed a week ago against Major League Baseball over this practice of holding on to fans' ticket money. What happened on Tuesday is that Major League Baseball apparently contacted all the teams and said, you know, you have our permission to establish a local policy for ticket refunds, at least for the unplayed games. So we'll see now. I'm sure on Wednesday we'll start to see, today, we'll start to see some information from the teams rolling out on how they plan to handle that. However, what I will say is that, and I think John Mozeliak was quoted saying this, that teams didn't want to start issuing refunds and make a big deal out of it before the other teams, because they didn't want to, you know, cause problems with their peer teams. But Bill DeWitt actually even said in the Post-Dispatch, and I know that this is true because I know people who have requested refunds from the Cardinals for April and May games, and the Cardinals gave them refunds. So it had to be, but Mr. DeWitt said it's on an individual basis. So folks should have felt comfortable even in the past contacting the Cardinals, explained their case, and chances are good, if you had the right documentation, that they would, in fact, you know, honor the refund. Now this policy apparently is going to be standardized across the game.
Brian, right now we don't have baseball, but you're working hard at thecardinalnation.com. What have you been working on? I did catch the interview that you had with a lawyer of the minor leagues, which I thought was interesting. But what are some of the other things that you're doing?
Well, we're working on minor league history series. As you mentioned, we had a story about minor league salary, an interview where we talked about some of the issues with minor league pay over time. And the other thing that, by the way, that's going on at the Cardinal Nation, in addition to daily content, is that we have a very active forum, message boards, where fans who want to come and talk, and we're talking about intelligent adult talk, so there's not politics, there's not screaming, there's not profanity, but folks who want to come and talk about baseball can come, and there's a number of very, you know, discussions that are going on over a long period of time, and this is much better than social media because, you know, social media comments come and go, whereas in a message board, you can go back and read comments that somebody said yesterday or last week. And oftentimes during the season, I'm really busy. I don't have as much time to participate other than on the forum for our paying customers. But right now, you know, you don't have to, if you want to ask a question to me or the people on the Cardinal Nation staff, you can come to our forum and ask a question, and chances are good we're going to see it right away. You don't have to wait for a Q&A session, a scheduled session, or a mailbag article. So come with us and talk about Cardinals baseball.
TheCardinalNation.com. Brian Walton with us every Wednesday here on the website. Brian, as always, great to catch up. Be safe, be healthy, and we'll visit next Wednesday.
Thanks, Dan.
Luke Hughes, we are St. Louis.
Dan McLaughlin here to tell you about the hometown automotive family I trust the most, the Lou Hughes Automotive Network, and you know they are St. Louis. Lou Hughes has been a part of St. Louis for over 7 decades. They're proud to support St. Louis and the surrounding areas with cars, youth, sports, and charitable efforts. 14 brands, 10 locations. Just visit Hughes.com to start shopping today.
Lou Hughes, we are St. Louis.